What's up, everyone? You are listening to Talk Back, the podcast. I'm your host, Nass, and I am so stoked for this episode. I would like to introduce you guys to a true powerhouse of a guy who is not only a very successful businessman, but also the host of the Win-Win Effect podcast, which got 2 million downloads within the first year of launching. Absolutely insane. And this can only be done with a very well-said philosophy of one heartbeat, one mission, one outcome. It's Chris Ross. What's up, Chris? Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. And I'm looking forward to this. It's been one of my, on my calendars. Carolyn, of course, I have an executive assistant, runs my calendars. She'll put it and she'll hit the little button and I'll look at them. And I put stars are the ones I'm looking forward to. So you had a star next to your name. So yeah, I've been looking forward to this. And I appreciate you inviting me on. I'm looking forward to serving your audience in any kind of way I can and bring a little bit of knowledge and maybe they can take something from it and implement it in their life. And hopefully it will increase their quality of life in some type of form or fashion. So I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think they will. How is it in the UK? What's it looking like?
Dark. It gets dark here crazy early. London, the mayor in London, I don't know when this will air, but a mayor in London, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, kind of threw his hands up. We can't control this pandemic. I'm like, well, clean, clean something, you know, like stop kissing your friends.
There we go. That's a start.
That's a start. Like, you know, but I don't know. I mean, everything's good. I feel like I'm like a hermit now. It's weird because I'm a people person and I can't see people. So I have a hard time. So now I'm just online more. And it's kind of like one of those things where you have screen time. I have too many screens where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, building businesses and, you know, doing what I do for a living, I'm just a very blessed individual. So I'm always like the glass half full kind of guy. Mm. I've always been that way since I was a kid. I don't ever take my mind never goes to the negative side. Because you have two big major catalysts that drive people. You have pain and then pleasure. But the best way to understand both of those, I get motivated off of pain. So it's a fear of loss, like fear of missing out. I had an issue with that. So I was always the one at the party that wanted to hang out all the way to the end of the party, the after
big,
party, the
big
after party.
FOMO.
Huge. But yeah, like the pleasure side of it. Like, so say for instance, if I wanted to make, you're like, Chris, you can have this opportunity and you can make 8 to 10 figures. That's not going to motivate me at all. It's just not, because that's just like money is just a byproduct of getting things you want in a life. It's measured upon how much impact you can make into whatever you're working on. That's the way I view it. So I hope that helps, but the UK is a little crazy. It's different here because I'm not English, but I do speak American English. I learned there's two different ones. Because there's a lot of slang.
Different. Oh, yeah. I guess the lingo.
It's completely different. So now I'm starting to pick up on the different accents in this little island.
If you say dude over there, do people get weirded out?
I don't really say the word dude a lot.
Oh, I don't say it either.
Yeah. No, but I don't know. Like I say, I mean, like they're huge on bro. I think bro now has got across the Atlantic. They're like, what's up, bro? And I'm like, don't bro me if you don't know me. Like, I don't know you. Like, why are you broing me? My name is Chris Ross.
Don't bro me if you don't know me. I love that. I think that's the new slogan for Talk Back. I'll just take that one, honestly.
Bro me if I stole it off a shirt somewhere. I don't know. Maybe a meme. I don't know.
Anyways. You've heard of bra, right? Like BRA.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You're like, what do you think I am? That's funny.
I'm not that old.
That's funny. I like the concept. You're saying money is only a byproduct of what we do. And it's people usually like put it in the front. And that must stem from your win-win effect mindset. Yes. So I really want you to go into what does it mean that both parties are winning? Because to me, it sounds like some utopian stuff. Like, is that real? Can we all win?
Is this real life?
Exactly.
Yeah. So the win-win effect, I'll back up, just peel back just a little bit more. When I was working for companies, corporations as a contract, when I set out in entrepreneurship, I was making a huge impact in the companies and corporations and aligning sales, marketing, operations, fulfillment. So, and I looked at it differently than a lot of other people because I come from the education space. Like, what is the customer getting? How can we increase their experience? to such a high level that we're selling through them to everyone in their network and everyone they know. So if you're increasing their experience and they're having such a good time, I read a book. I don't know if it was actually a book by Walt Disney, but Walt Disney was quoted in the book. I don't know what book it was. He mentioned that it's a proven scientific fact. When people are happy, 65% of more people are going to spend more money. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So I've lived and died by that kind of like way of looking at life and looking at business. Like, so when I'm having a conversation with you, even when I go on other shows, how can I increase their experience of me being on that show? So the people that are tuning in right now, how can I increase their experience of them tuning into this? What can I do to give them something that maybe they're not wanting to hear, but they need to hear? And that's how I look at business. So when I came from behind the scenes, I was always a guy behind the companies pulling some strings. So just giving everyone a little bit of context behind that. If you have been cold called by a trade school in the last 10 years, it's a good chance I wrote that script. And my companies have. So, and they don't normally lead off with, hey, this is Chris Ross calling from homeviews.com.
Yeah.
That's not the way you call someone. You'd be like, Nas, what's up?
Yeah.
You'd be like, who the hell is calling me? I'm triggering you to say something. Get them speaking. So that's increasing their experience, right? I'm just giving you an example. So The win-win effect, when I came from behind the scenes, I didn't want to be the guy who goes, the Chris Ross show. Who the Chris Ross in the first place? I almost cursed, but I didn't know if I'm cursing.
No, you're good.
I was like, who the fuck is Chris Ross? Anyway, like, I'm not one of those guys. So I was like, okay, what do I do? So I was like, what do I do for a living? How do I make an impact? It's like, you know, the adopting the win-win mentality is all about gaining more knowledge on both sides of a buyer-seller relationship and figuring out how can I take that experience, increasing their experience. And that way, everybody they come in contact with, and they'll go, Chris does this for a living, or whoever does this for a living, he's the perfect person. And now I'm having a conversation with them. Like when I got involved in sales years, feels like forever ago, feels like two lifetimes. When I very first got involved in sales, I was dyslexic and I couldn't read off a piece of paper that well. So I was like, how can I use my own senses and how can I use myself, put myself into that? And I would make them feel a certain way, and they would give me leads, and I would never call the leads. I was selling through them, and they're giving me like 2-3 referrals from that, and I was killing them. So that actually really helped me at the very beginning of my career. So that's what I do for a living. It's just like, how can I focus on their needs, want, and desires more than mine? And I really qualify them and say, okay, this person needs X, Y, Z. That's what you're looking for. But what's the next 5 steps down the road? And now I'm going to give them more knowledge for them to make a better decision. And that's all about how I frame questions, start looking out for patterns of behavior, limiting beliefs, like leveraging those. So when I'm shifted over to living an abundant lifestyle, not just abundant mindset, where there's enough air we breathe, there's enough water we drink, there's enough success out there for everyone. There's literally enough. I've proven, just give you a little statistic behind that. 2% of the world gives all their wealth to the other 98%, and it cycles back through. And what tends to happen is this: the 2%, they're building companies that give to the other 98%, but 98% of the world is giving all their wealth to that 2%. All their wealth through their funnels, through businesses, through investments. I know it probably sounds crazy, and the listener will be like, what the freak is he talking about? But it's proven. Yeah. It's proven that 2% of the world only have that type of mindset. So when I was going through, I guess, my journey, I'm still going through this tunnel, and I'm trying to figure ways out, I started following the money. That's where you really find answers out in the world. I'm going to follow the money. I'm going to start looking for patterns of behavior, and I'm going to start not mimicking them 100%. I want to put myself into that. But what are some of the patterns and what are some of the habits they possess? And I need to start investigating myself and really taking inventory every single day. Like, is this serving my life? How? What, when, why? Diagnostic questions. Very simple.
But you weren't like that all the time. Like,
no, like, hell no.
How do you shake people to wake up, to get them into that mindset, to be like, hey,
make it real for them. You make it real. It needs to be, you're back against the wall and you have no other choice. Mm-hmm. So say, for instance, if I said, Chris, I want to lose 10 pounds. It's pretty simple.
I do.
Why do you want to lose 10 pounds? They'll be like, okay, I want to look better. I want to feel better. I want to, you know, eat a little bit healthy. I don't know, whatever they do, but what is the real reason? And when I actually had this happen, and I still remember the person, she said that she wanted to build a business and make 7 figures. Of course, everybody wants to do that. Mm-hmm. If they haven't never made 7 figures before. Like, well, have you ever made a high 6-figure number? She goes, no, the most money I've ever made was $50,000 a year. I'm like, well, we got a long way to go. Right. Yeah. So I was like, well, why do you want to do that? She goes, well, I'm 56 years old. Still remember this woman, 56 years old. I want to build a business on my own because my ex-husband, he left me for a younger woman. I was like, he left you for a younger woman. How did that make you feel? It's always going to feelings first. How did that make you feel? Well, our child, you know, he got our oldest one is 11 now. And I feel like he just pushed me to the side. And he's always told me that I was stupid. Always told me that, you know, there's no way. She was a housewife. But she ended up building a business. Like, fast forward 7 months later, she was making good money.
Just 7 months.
Yes. Making good money. Built her own business. She was good at what she did, like consulting stuff, mm-hmm. Like financial. Like, she did, like, I guess, work from home, kind of, you know, like tax year.
Yeah.
But we taught her different ways of being able to, like, package some of her programs and serving her audience and serving her community. And her figuring out, how can I get a piece of an upride? That was a big thing for her. Once I opened that way of thinking for her, she was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is some big shit. I love this. So I was like, that's mailbox money. That's royalties. We're good. So she goes, okay, well, 7 months later, she calls me. And I'm like, no one ever has my direct number. Only certain people. But it calls through the call center thing. And the person, one of our secretaries, answered the phone and said, Chris, I don't want to say her name, but I'll say Becca. Becca called and she's like, hey, this is Becca. And she really wants to talk to you. She's like crying on the phone. I'm like, what the freak is going? She's like, no, like laughter crying. And I'm like, okay, well, patch her through. Yeah. So I patched her through. She's like, I just want to let you know. Like, I got my dress on and I got my shades on. And I was driving in my car and I was driving, and it was a brand new car. And it was a red car, convertible, and went to drop her son off. And she said the moment that the door opened, the younger woman answered the door, his new wife. Uh-huh. And the way that she looked at her was like, wow. You know, she was like in rags and riches, kind of. She was pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, the new one. And his wife, her ex-husband got to the door, and the way that he looked at her, priceless. So me peeling back some layers for her, I identified she didn't want to lose weight or make money, but there was a certain dress that the last time he ever gave her a compliment, she wanted to be able to wear that dress, and she wore that dress that day.
And that was her motivator.
That was the pivoting point. That was the fuel. But she needed to tap into that to make sure everything was going to go right for her. So in order for her to discover what she needed to draw from every single day, you have to pull from something.
Do you think that looking for someone else's reaction to where we are in life, that's a bad motivator, or does it not matter?
That's a bad motive. That's huge. You can't. You need to put blinders on. What's important for you? Don't worry about everybody else. You can't worry about everyone else. It's just an indicator on where you're trying to get to, and you're trying to blaze through a path to get you and be able to live a fulfilled life. Not by making money, fulfill life. I've met people that are 100% fulfilled in life, and they're just ecstatic about life, and they don't have the money and the luxuries that everyone else wants to have. That's the problem, is you'll end up focusing on everybody else and thinking that's going to be successful for you. And then you'll end up compromising your quality of life, trying to make all this money. And when you make the money, I'm telling you right now, just from someone that's achieved a certain level, it's a 15-second rule. I'll hit that number and I'll go, well, what the freak down do I do?
Now what? Yeah.
Because the money was not the end result. So if you are trying to focus on everybody else and judging where you are, screw everybody else. Your job is to become 1% better every single day. Are you better than the person you were yesterday? Yes. No. Then what happened? Break it down. I am extremely difficult to myself, but I'm kind to myself. It's different. I'm critical when it comes to, okay, am I learning something new? Am I implementing that? Am I going to get to the overall outcome? People, when they go to set goals, they'll set this like dream. You can't set a dream.
Like a car or a house or...
That's just a part of the process.
But people have that. Like, that's their end goal. People be like, if I obtain this, then I obtain everything else. And right. I think like you just can't. So how do we right. just get rid of that?
That's a limiting belief. They're setting their sights for the only what they can see in their own vision right now. There's things that I've accomplished I would have never thought I would ever accomplish. There's no freaking way. There's people that I grew up with that refuse to see me in my new skin. Refuse. It doesn't matter if I'm going to be a billionaire, they refuse to like that shit. They'll refuse, but they don't hate me or they're not, they don't want to, it's not that they don't want to see me there. They're judgmental on their self. Damn. He did this with his life. I could have done that, but they're not going to tell me that. So they're not. I look at when someone's hating on you, it's just another form of being infatuated on what I'm doing. So I applaud that. I appreciate your judgment. If there's anything I do for you in the future, let me know. And they don't know how to respond to things like that. I love haters. I'm trying to get 100 more by Friday. I love them. I love them.
Trouble until then.
Shit, yeah, that's my job. I was like. All I know is I'm going to win today. Someone's taking a loss or draw. Y'all can figure that out, but I'm going to win. Am I winning or losing? There's no losing. There's just learning more. How can I learn? If I got punched in the face today, like, well, I'm not going to walk in that room not guarded. You know what I mean?
But so like, when did this happen? Because like you said, you didn't have this all the
time.
It's
a shift. It was a lot of shifts.
Okay. Like, yeah, it's not like one light switch moment and then everything.
Nah, it was kind of like me seeing, moving that needle just a little bit and going, well, maybe I'm not stupid. Maybe I'm not this. Maybe I'm start questioning your own limiting beliefs and narrative a little bit. I'm like, well, why am I working for this one person or this one company only making 130K? People would think that's security. That's good money. But I decided that, am I really good at what I do? I knew for sure that I was one of the best at doing it, but no one knew who I was.
Always start from getting better. And you have the idea of making yourself 1% better every day. So like, can you talk more about sure, that? So sure. Let's start being 1% better every day. How right. would we start?
How you would do that? It's okay. Inventory your life right now. Where in your life would you like to see some type of level of improvement? Like, where do you think you need to be doing more? Where do you need to think doing less of? What do you think is really preventing you? There's one time in a day where it really hits home for people. That's usually around 8 to 10 o'clock at night before you about to start getting to bed and start thinking about your next day. And then you're going to go, my life sucks. The person I'm sleeping next to sucks. Or I don't know, like this TV show sucks.
Yeah.
Whatever that might be, you'll start, it's just the way our human brains work. We're going to look at our life, but here's the problem is people tend to numb it through alcohol or substance, whatever that might be. They'll watch something, not get in their mind off as something else. That's where you see the Netflix and chill shit. They'll go and hang out with people they don't normally would hang out with because it's a Tuesday night and no one's out. They're looking to get something. They're looking to try to get their mind off of where they currently are. This is what happens with books, okay? And I struggled through the years in realizing that I always thought I was stupid because I couldn't read, but I was undiagnosed dyslexic. So me reading off a piece of paper, I couldn't understand the information. So I learned a whole different way of learning. So I would listen to something, then I would write it down, and now it sunk into my mind. So the point I'm making is when people... I knew that I needed to gain more knowledge. I knew that for me to be able to get to this level or me, I moved a needle a little bit, but I was still missing something. Where can I gain more knowledge? Books. It's not that difficult, but people will much rather pick up an alcoholic beverage, pick up a joint, pick up something, maybe go talk to a girl that they wouldn't normally talk to or a guy they would normally talk to. I met people that they refuse to be single.
Yeah.
And they're dating the same person over and over and over and over because they're creating their own trauma and recreating it by their same patterns of behavior. or they'll pick up a joint, pick up a beer, pick up, go sleep with somebody or whatever that might be, what they're just trying to get their attention off, because they would much rather do that than picking up a book because it reminds them how far they have to go.
And that's scary. When you have to, when you become aware of your faults, it's like people can point them out and you'll be like, whatever. But if you're really telling yourself, I'm not in a place I want to be, I guess
that's hard. Like, let's be real. Like, this is what's happening in the last year. We're in a time right now where we've been forced to go back inside and deal with our own shit. Yeah. The ones that have put in the work or at least moved the needle a little bit, you'll see them. You'll see their success in 2021, 2022, and thereon. Yeah. You'll see it. I've been built for this. Like, I've been working on online businesses, not really online, but me working my businesses and running my companies and getting them, scaling them and selling companies. And I've been doing all this stuff virtually now for the last like 5 years. I've been screaming to people, if you don't have some type of online type of program or something where you have a 24/7 business where you can attract business that way, you're going to fail. Boop, pandemic. I was like, should I go online and like do like a public service announcement? Like, motherfuckers.
I've been training for this my whole life.
Right. I was like, man, I didn't think about it. Like, I was talking to the CFO the day of when everything went nuts. Everyone is frantic. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, this is what we're going to do. This. And I was on to the next call. Because I knew I already had things in place. I was adaptable to the marketplace. I can adapt. But are you adaptable to life right now?
So tell me, as a social guy, how did COVID impact you in that?
Yeah,
way?
It impacted me on a mental level. Like, my cat, I talked to my cat more than, you know, I think he's going to talk English back to me or something.
What's
I don't
his
know.
Name?
Dabo. So Dabo. Yeah, he's a trip. He's a Bengal cat. He's one of those crazy cats. It looks like a jungle cat. I was actually on a call one day with Adam Shively.
Yeah.
Y'all know, and he's a trip. Adam, what's up, dude? I was sitting here and I had the door open and he comes walking up and he was like, you can see Adam's face. I didn't see the cat walking. He's like, you got a jungle cat behind you. And I was like, yeah, it's my cat. And he was like, what the fuck is that? Why would you get a cougar? I'm like, it's not a cougar, man. And he was like, that's a big cat. And I'm like, Yeah. But anyways, but it did really affect me on a personal level because I just felt like I'm spending too much time online trying to get that human need of love and connection in an indirect way where it's not the same thing at all. I mean, you see it right now with children going to school and are going online school and are too young to have enough emotional intelligence to realize that you're in school. This is real. You're not on a phone call.
It's hard. Yeah. It like doesn't really feel real.
It's not real.
That way. Can you actually, for some kids that are in college, like their first year of college, my younger brother, he's just started college this year. And I know it is hard, especially going Muzaffer.
What's up, man?
You love that.
I know, always family is listening, you know?
Because he saw like my older brother Mustafa go to college and me, and like I just got out there at 2019, and then for him to be ready and suited up for college, and they put on the virtual classes, like I feel for him and I feel for every kid that
he should be better off than your older brother and you, because he's watched two of his siblings go through that experience, so he knows what not to do or what to do.
But I guess wanting to exercise it. So like what do you tell people in that sense? Like, now I've learned everything. It's like when you just want to apply. You just want to start.
Well, yeah, you can do it now. But it's like it's the time.
It's the whole experience that it's taking a hit on.
I love that. That whole experience taking away from. Okay, what can you learn from that experience, what you're lacking? And how can you overcompensate in other areas to still be fulfilled in those other areas? It could be maybe if you're not getting enough social interaction with, I don't know, fraternities or whatever that might be, look at, do some research and maybe start your own community.
So just like translate into another way.
Yeah. Like I've
it's
got,
innovation.
I got,
it's innovation.
Yeah. I don't drink because obviously, you know, I've been drinking a very, very long time, but it's like my friends would just send me a thing like, hey, we're doing happy hour at 4:00. And I'm like, what the fuck are y'all doing? They're like, Everyone's getting drunk now in the COVID, you know, like, I'm like, they'll send me a link and I'm like, I don't drink. And it was like, well, you just be there. You're fun. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what? I don't have anything. But you know what? The little side note, and I don't think a lot of people know this. And I was really shy growing up as a kid. You wouldn't believe that, but I was really shy growing up. I don't know. Like, it's the whole thing is in going through life and to go back to your question about college and maybe starting, you just got to have a creative mind. You're in college anyway. Have a creative mind. Don't just do what everyone's telling you to do. Yeah. Just because it's been done that way. That's the biggest rule in business. When I go into businesses and they'll go, I'm like, what are the protocol? What's the processes? Like, what are you trying to get to? What are the numbers? Yada, yada. These are all normal stuff, right? What are the KPIs? How do you measure success? How do you measure this? How do you measure that? What's the mission statement? No one can tell me. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What is this? Is this a company? So then they'll ask me, and I'm like, well, why do you do it this way? They'll go, we've always done it this way.
That is an answer. Really? I can't say
it. No, I have a physical reaction to that answer. It makes me want to, you know, chop someone in the throat.
I'm getting
I'm like, okay, sheep. You know what I mean? Like, all right, guys. You know, so you can't always do what everyone else is doing. How can you look at what, so you mentioned at very beginning, judging success off of maybe competitors or maybe other people. You can look at people like that and go, all right, this person's doing it big, but that's just a perception. That's an illusion. But there's nothing in life is real. Nothing. Nothing's real. Your past is your past for a reason. It's your history. Your future, that's going to be dictated on the decisions and choices you make today in the present life. So what are you going to do? Anyone can change their life like that. I know probably a lot of people have said that, but it starts with this, the thought that enters your brain because you can't control it. But what do you do with it? Are you asking yourself tough questions? Why am I feeling this way from this thought? Why am I thinking this today? Break it down backwards. Like, okay, so if I'm thinking this and my first initial thought afterwards using my imagination, that's how I've gotten some of the bigger contracts in my life is I would look at a business and just be walking by and look at a business and be like, man, they would do so much better if they did it this way, just for an initial way it looks. And I walk in, how I conducted myself in a certain way with the first person, they knew that I was someone of influence.
Just with that energy.
Being conscious of your energy. What is it? What are, and that's another point to bring back all is it, we got a lot of loopbacks. So you're doing good with questions. So when you're looping back to this and you're looking at, okay, how can I make more of an impact and how can I do something different? How can I maybe overcompensate another area because I'm lacking this in the experience of college? Okay. Well, are you conscious of the energy that you are polarizing out? Are you conscious of that? If you are conscious of it, what is that energy? What is that doing to you? What is that doing to the people around you? That's another thing with the win-win effect. There's so many people out there in the world and so many different personality types and so many different cultures, but there's only a certain amount of like behaviors. And these behaviors, I pick up on these. I'm like a heat-seeking missile because I'll ask questions, but it's not about what you're saying to me. I'm going to feel your intention behind it and know you're full of shit or you're telling me the truth or I'll find something or maybe you're leaving something out and I'll give everyone a little sales tip. Okay. So when you're looking to get more information from someone, don't look for a yes and don't look for a no. You hear a lot of salespeople, I need to get through the no's to get to the yeses. Stop. You're doing it wrong. What you need to do is ask questions. From you telling me the answer to that question, I'm going to use my emotional intelligence for me to kind of figure something else out, right? Okay, this is my assumption. I'm not going to go in left field with this, but I did hear you say it this way, but I'm going to paraphrase and I'm going to leave something out to see if you correct me. People love to correct other people when they purposely leave something out. No, I said it this way. And now they're going to elaborate and expand on it more and they'll give you more information. And they'll go, I didn't know. I'm like, I have people that I probably would ask them 5 questions the whole time. And then they'll tell me the whole life story.
It's how you ask it. It's not even just what you ask. It's like you said, you bring a certain presence.
Right. So that's the energy level. So everybody is in sales. Okay. And just to let everyone know. Yeah. So if you have, so you got to sell it. You got to sell everything. We've been selling. You've been selling your mom that you want another cookie. You've been selling your dad that you want to play outside. You've been selling everyone. All I do is I shine a light on the areas of opportunity for them to identify what they're doing and what they're not doing. Kids, you're going to learn a lot from kids. Kids can sell. They're very persuasive. They're persistent. But at some point, we start adopting to the status quo and is going and thinking that's okay because we grow up. And we're going to have to go to school and we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to do that. And all we're doing is getting all these limiting beliefs and bullshit dumped on top of us. And then we come out of school and no one knows how people know how to balance a checkbook and understand how to add certain things, but no one's taught how to become wealthy.
We have to rework that system because that happens a lot. Recent grads, especially, like, I've seen it. I've just been through it. Like, still through it. Like, I get it.
Right.
And just having to shed all those layers of everything that you've picked up throughout the years. And you just kind of, I don't know, you just like restart, but then and that's coming back again, the awareness. You're back to what you have to think of, like, yourself.
And right. And it all starts with that day, you know, and I mentioned it between 8 to 10 o'clock at night. I mean, that's a valuable time for you to really do inventory. And I challenge everyone listening to this. I want you to write down tonight all the things that you're grateful for. All the things you're grateful for. And in the morning, write down another sheet of paper, write down all the things you're grateful for first thing in the morning. Don't touch a phone. I love music. I don't listen to music first thing in the morning. Can't, because I'm actually reprogramming my mind from something else. You can't stop your mind. It's impossible. But there's one thing you can do is let your mind go nuts in certain areas and learning how to slow down time. That's what I do really well, is the neocortex part of your brain, frontal lobe. That's the part of your brain that shuts off, conscious and unconscious brain, all right, part of your brain. When you go to sleep, that part of your brain, out. There's a reason why that you need enough sleep, because all the part of your day, throughout your day, you have different parts of your brain. You have the ego. The ego's stupid. You just got to keep them busy or her busy. I learned how to keep my ego busy. Ego comes from, and it's another part, is the librarian part of your brain. And I'm not going to get all into the scientific talk about it and be like, what the fuck is he talking about? But the librarian part of your brain, that part of your brain is very important for you to understand how you're computing your data. And that taps into your subconscious mind. So you have to allow yourself enough time for that part of your brain, the librarian, to file all this information you just learned all day. Subliminal messages. You're not even aware that there's 30,000 choices and decisions you make all day throughout your day. People don't realize how many decisions and choices, stupid ones, like what color shirt should I wear today? What did I wear last week? I don't know. Like what is the person I'm infatuated with right now? I don't know. Like these stupid decisions. Like maybe I should text back. Maybe I shouldn't text back.
That's the
word. Yeah, right? You're making all these choices and decisions and you're focusing on all the wrong things, but you're not focusing on you.
Yeah.
You control you. But we weren't born with a user manual. I'm just giving it to you right now. So when you have the librarian part of your brain filing all this information, that's your subconscious mind. That's why it's imperative for you to gain enough knowledge throughout your day that you'll never know that you'll ever need that information ever again. But that's the other part of your brain that talks about the fight or flight mechanism, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're faced with danger, 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 and you need to pull out some information to keep you safe, you'll pull that out. That's how powerful your mind is.
So it like stores powerful. It without us knowing?
Without it, you have no idea.
That's crazy.
But you have to be faced with a life or death situation. That's what you mentioned right at the beginning. You're doing good with questions, like great questions, because you're forcing me to do a lot of loopbacks with a story that the painting the picture, right? That's what we're doing on podcasts, paint the picture. But when you do that, when you're understanding all this information, you need to gain more knowledge. And what knowledge are you gaining? Like people watch TV, they got a phone in their hand. They're not even watching.
We give it away really easily.
So easy. And then you're like, I don't know why I want a cheeseburger, but you've been watching cheeseburger fucking commercials all day. You know what I mean?
Subconscious is telling you. Yeah.
It's telling you. Yeah. Like your subliminal messages all day long. You'll be seeing 3-3. You'll be seeing certain things. I'm like, I don't know, 33. And then you'll think about, I'm like, I don't know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, he's 33. Yeah. Like, oh, throw the number. He's my favorite player.
So we think we don't know why we do something. We actually do. We're just not taking the time to really get in touch with ourselves and understand.
Right. And you're not quiet enough in your own thoughts to listen to your intuition. Your intuition will tell you exactly what you need to do. It's like listening to your gut, but there's another voice in the back of your mind. That's not your intuition. That's fear. That's trying to keep you alive. So when I ask questions with people and they'll go, I don't know, I need to think about it. What do you need to think about? Share with me again. Forgive me. And sometimes I get really frustrated.
It's called passion.
Right. Yes, it is. I get really frustrated. I'm like, do they speak another language that I'm not sure of right now? I'm like, oh yeah, you speak stupid. Okay, I get it. So no, I'm kidding. But what it is, the problem is they're just not woken up yet. They're not awake. They've been walking through this trance their whole life and doing what everyone else told them to do and why they told them to do certain things. Now you're living life. You're living someone else's life. The best thing I've ever done for myself was to go into a retirement home and interview people that are, you know, obviously just waiting to die. Their families just drop them off. So I went in and started asking questions. I want to cover one topic only, regret. What was the girl of your dreams that you didn't ask out? What was her name? What did she do? Why did you like her? What is the invention that you thought of and it came out? What was this? What was that? You can see the pain behind people's eyes. And I'm going to die on E. I'm not going to live with that. Even the good and bad though. Even the bad, I'm going to live with it because I know that was a decision and the choices that led me to that moment and something else beautiful happened from that. The greatest things that ever going to happen to you in life are going to come from that time in your life where you're going to feel like everything's going to end. Everything great happens from that moment of like, oh shit. And that's the neocortex part of your brain slowing down time. Once you learn how to slow down time, you think about a car accident. You ever been in a car accident?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty vivid.
Think about this for a second. Do you remember the moment right before impact?
Yeah.
Your brain took a snapshot from fear. It took from that, I can't control the narrative. I can't control what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm petrified because I don't know if I'm going to die or not. Mm-hmm. So your brain takes that as a memory and takes it as a, you're always going to remember something from a great state or a great high emotional state of fear and a high emotional state of joy. So where people always remember the day they got married. If they don't remember the day they got married, it's a good chance they didn't want to get married. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just saying that's how when people are really fall in love with someone, they'll pick out, they know exactly what they're wearing. Pay attention.
Because they felt that heightened emotion.
Yes.
It secures it. So when you know you're really anything. 100%.
That's how you know it's meaningful to you.
And I guess that your brain doesn't do it on accident. It just happens. Like, if you remember something,
we're programmed to do it. We're programmed to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's because you drop too much knowledge. I'm going to go back to this and be like, wait, what? Like my mind is just,
what happened right now? Like, what do I do with my hands? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, wait, is this doing the right thing? Is anything real?
Nothing. I mean, that's me being 100% with your audience. They're going to be like, I don't know who the hell this guy was, but he was in here just talking shit. I'm just being 100% with you. Nothing in life is real. Nothing. The clothes you wear, the money you have, the money you're trying to get to. You have money here looks funny to me because I'm in England. It's not real money to me. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Monopoly money. Money isn't real though.
Yeah.
Nothing is real. Only thing that matters is how you feel right now. Where are you in life? What are you trying to accomplish? Why? What are the motives? Do you feel that you deserve that in life? If not, you need to go back in. It's all about shedding all the layers. You mentioned Brian Bogert before we jumped on. One of my favorite people on this planet. The reason why he's one of my favorite people on this planet, because he forces people to really lean into pain and adversity. His arm got yanked off his body. He's not trying to make a bunch of money. He's just trying to make an impact with people. Anyone can do anything. Those are the things that inspire me the most. My older sister, she was born handicapped. Watching her breathe through tubes her whole life and just like fighting to breathe, that's my competitive advantage. Cause I'm not going to die one day and look her in the face and be like, she was like, you did this with your life. You did this. I draw from that every day. I don't have to do what I do for a living. I get to do what I do for a living. And that's the difference.
Maybe people don't have those moments to, or they think they don't. They don't take the time to reflect and think they have the moments to draw from.
There it is. See, now you have the biggest, I guess you would say the message behind the message.
Not madness. It was all a message. There was no madness.
They were like, what the hell just happened? Like, oh, that makes more sense now.
That's funny. Oh my gosh. Wow, Chris. Well, I guess we'll wrap up here. Where can people find you? Cause they're hooked. I'm telling you, all the TalkBack listeners are like, nah, I need more of this guy.
I'm easy to find. The best way to get me is the Winject Studios, winject.com. You'll learn more about the communities. Obviously we're building right now. We're going to go, and I already have some, I wouldn't say plans, but I already have some things already projected and already set in stone with some major collaborations in business and Inc. Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine. I got some big things lined up for this community, but we need to focus on the community because that community is the engine. It's going to drive it.
You heard it here, guys. Keep an eye out for Winject Studios as seen in the TalkBack show art. And thank you again so much, Chris, for coming on the show. And to all the listeners, you already know if you're going to do one thing and nothing else, spread good vibes and not germs.